Welcome to the Leadership Podcast, brought to you by LifeWest, the chiropractic college. I'm your host, Dr. Ron Oberstein.
And I'm your host, Dr. Mary Oberstein.
And we're excited to have you join us as we bring special guests in the world of health, leadership, business success, and chiropractic. Our mission is to create a brighter future for humanity, and we are thrilled to walk this journey with you.
Enjoy this episode, and thank you for being with us today.
Well, welcome everybody. Dr. Ron Oberstein, president of Life Chiropractic College West, and you are with us for another edition of our Life West Leadership Line. And today, I've got a very special guest. If you don't know him, then you don't know chiropractic. I have Dr. Arlen Fehr. So Arlen, welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you.
Great to have you. I want to tell the audience just a little bit about you, but then we're going to dive deeper in, okay? So, Dr. Arlen graduated in 1961. You do the math. You don't have to. It's about 64 years ago, and he was at the age of 20. In fact, you said you couldn't even get a license until 21. Is that correct?
Yes, I had to wait.
I had to wait to get his license. But in the meantime, he went into the service, and he spent 2 years in the service during the Cuban Missile Crisis. That was from 1962 to 64, actually right by Guantanamo Bay, Cuban Missile Crisis. And then he went into active practice in 1964. So from 64 to 89, he was in Redwood Falls, Minnesota, and was active practice there. But during that time period in 1967, he started Activator Techniques, which we're going to get into today, right? And then from 89, he moved to Phoenix, Arizona, where he's been ever since. But part of that move was because he needed to be associated with an institution for research around Activator, and he got involved with Arizona State University, which is a great school. And since then, he's been transforming the world with Activator care and chiropractic, and teaching chiropractors all over the world, has a phenomenal online certification program, and just cutting edge things and just doing amazing things. So Arlen, that was a very short, I didn't want to make it a eulogy, you know, because that's what usually happens, right? And we don't need eulogies these days.
Correct. I don't want a eulogy.
Me either. But I just keep it short and sweet. But let's dive in, because there's some stuff I want to know, and I think our audience wants to know big time, right? And that stuff is, first of all, how'd you get into chiropractic? Like, what was that got you there?
I was a 12-year-old kid sitting in my mother's chiropractor's waiting room. And I had sore throats for the winter, and I'd had something like 25 penicillin shots. I used to give little ones every week, and nothing helped. And my mother walked out, and she looked at myself sitting there, and she looked back at Dr. Lee, and she said, "I wish there was something you could do with that kid." And he said, "Well, why don't we take him back, examine him, and take a look at him, and we'll see what we can find." Long story short, 12 adjustments later, my sore throat went away, and I knew what I wanted to be. And people asked me afterwards, "Why didn't you become an MD?" And I said, "God, it didn't work." And so I became a chiropractic advocate at 12 years old.
I love it. And the doc you saw?
Dr. Warren C. Lee.
After
I got out of school, I went back there and I said, "I'm looking for a place to practice." And he said, "Well, I've got one empty room." He said, "Why don't you paint it, clean it up, and you can practice there for free." And 20-some years later, I was still not in that building, but I was still in Redwood Falls, Minnesota, and he was my partner for over 20 years.
For a long time, long time. And what a gem of a person, too. Just a wonderful man. It's like when you look at that history and you see that, and that had to happen, you know, in the 50s, right? Or 47, maybe 48. I don't know when you were 13 years old, but just incredible stuff, man. It's like, you know, and that was the power of chiropractic back then, right? Let's take a look, bring them in the back and see, right?
Exactly. And as he got done x-raying me and so forth, he said, "Oh, you have a curvature in your neck." And he said, "That's probably causing the whole thing." And so 12 adjustments later, I was free of nerve pain, and I was free of my coughing, and I was free of my sore throats. And I, again, like I said, I knew what I wanted to be at 12.
Boy, where did Dr. Lee go? Was he Logan grad?
Interestingly enough, he had the number one diploma from Northwestern.
Wow.
And then he went to Logan for postgrad because he was a big fan of H.B. Logan.
Oh.
And he loved body mechanics and he loved full spine x-rays. And then he got involved in the Toughness movement. And so that was when I came into his office, that's what was being used was Toughness, Basic, and Diversified.
Wow. You know, it's funny, I did an associateship when I got out of school, in Seattle, Washington, or Washington area, and he was a Toughness practitioner, and it was just incredible. The squeak box, right? You know, and
Exactly.
put the powder on there, and and Toughness. You know, I Ian Toughness was like, what was he? Was he hunted down by the FDA or whatever?
Yeah, unfortunately, in those days, he never got the FDA approval. And so I remember this quite well because a neighbor of ours, Dr. Anderson from Marshall, Minnesota, called us one night and said, "Get the Toughness instruments out of your office because they're coming through, throwing them on the street and smashing them, and it's not very good publicity for chiropractic." So we were down there at 10 o'clock at night cleaning out all the instruments out of the office, and sure enough, the next day the FDA people walked in the door and walked through and checked everything, said, "You're fine," and walked out, which left with no way to find a subluxation. And so that's kind of what began the seeking a way to find a subluxation. And then I started going to different seminars to find out where do I go, what do I do to locate a nerve pressure. And I ended up in Van Rump's camp. And now that's a character for sure. And some kids today won't even know who Van Rump is, but he was a very interesting guy and he had a bunch of protocols. And so we started looking at the protocols, but it even gets better than that. I was not happy with him. And I'm one day in the Minnesota State Fair, and I'm doing a blood pressure booth for the Minnesota Chiropractic Association. And this little lady walks in and she said, "You've been so nice to me after I checked your blood pressure." And she said, "I want to show you a technique so you can take it back to your office." And on the back of a paper, she showed me this leg testing technique. And that's how I started looking at leg testing. And so it was just out of a million people.
Was she a chiropractor or was she?
Yeah, she was a chiropractor. And she just said, "I just want to help you because I know you're a student and you're starting out. And so here's some technique that you can see." And it was, I think Thompson used it also in his technique. So
Right. You
anyway.
know,
Well, they were from Palmer College. I knew that, and so.
yeah. You know, it's crazy. You know, Van Rump, let's just take him for instance. And most people who are 20, 25 years of practice or more. Hopefully, you heard of Van Rump, you know, and he was doing a direct, what was it? A DNFT, direct non-force technique.
Yep.
Yeah. And he would just read the legs. He'd read the feet, right? And amazing stuff. Amazing. But people just couldn't comprehend that. But he was doing the leg check or at least reading the feet on it, right? That kind of thing. And then doing the thumb move, right?
Yes,
And,
that's
you know,
exactly. And after we used our thumbs for about a year, I'd sit there and I would sink my elbows into ice water to take the swelling out. And the only person that felt sorry for me was my dog. He'd sit there with me. And I thought, this is really stupid. So that's how we said we've got to have something better than this. And so that started the question. Now, Dr. Lee, and bless his heart, he was a bit of a mechanical engineering type. And so he said, "Why don't we combine Logan and the body techniques and the body mechanics of Logan with Van Rump?" And he said, "We can maybe come up with a step-by-step methodology." And so that's how the leg testing really started, because Dr. Lee had a good knowledge of the lower back and the pelvis and what happens to the iliums when a right leg is short, the ilium's inferior, and that kind of thing. And we started a thing called pressure testing, and that's how it began to be able to see, can we change the balance in the body?
you know, it's just incredible because, you know, when you let we'll do we'll, we're going to go to a different lineage line, right? So when you go to HIO and then from HIO, you know, where BJ was doing, right? And then you got guys like like Grostic, right, who started stuff. And then from Grostic, you go into another technique, and people who are learning from the masters become masters. And they, and the next thing you know, you've got AO, or you've got whatever you have, whatever lineage line we have. It's always people learning and taking some of the best of the best. And I never knew that about Activator, that it came out of, DNFT and Logan. And it makes so much sense, Arlen, because, when you see a DNFT practitioner with their thumbs and they're doing this, it's like it hurts just to even see them do it, right?
Exactly. And if you do that for a year and you have many patients, you can tell, see what it does to your body. So we were looking for a way to put a thrust into the body. And a patient came in one day that was a dentist. And I was telling him my quandary. I said, I want to find something that we can put a thrust into the body. He said, well, I know how we put a thrust into the mouth. And I said, well, tell me. He said, we use a piece of equipment called it's a dental splitter where they use to split wisdom teeth. And he said, it makes a, you squeeze it and it makes a fast thrust. And he said, you probably want to take the scalpel off the end. So that was our first research. By the way, we had a shoe thing that went in and a doorstop on it, and that was the first head we put on the dental impactor, and we made a thrust on the body, and my gosh, it worked, and the legs balanced and everything went. We were like, ecstatic, and it wasn't built, for a long-term thing like in chiropractic, because they only probably did about 3 or 4 a year of, splitting wisdom teeth. So this was a crazy story. It was California, LACC, and there was a young, I did a seminar out there, and there was a young student, Freddie Hunzinger, and he was in the class, and I told him we were looking for a new instrument. I'd sure like to find somebody that could engineer one. And so 6 months later, he walks in the door in Redwood Falls, Minnesota, and he said, I've got something I think you'll want to look at. And he said, I have a friend he was Swiss, and he said, I have a friend who's a Swiss engineer. His name is Albert Keller, and I never will forget this. By the way, we operated for 28 years without a contract. It's just our word. And Albert designed an instrument, and it was absolutely bulletproof. It was just perfect. As a matter of fact, he got the idea from the Swiss Army. They have an exchange in a weapon that, where the cartridge fires out, and that's how they made the instrument. And so that's the instrument that we're modified and still using. We got four generations of it, but that we're using today. But I mean, it was like, it's almost a God thing. Nobody could have put this thing together. And so
It just fell in your lap, right?
that
No, ask and you shall receive, right?
yes, that's exactly how it was. And so we, of course, were thrilled to death to buy the rights from Freddie, and we put him through school. And so that was how we got the first Activator. And by the way, that was FDA approved because there was nothing to approve it. So that we just turned it in and they approved it because there was nothing else. And that was 1974. So, and then now you can go on. We've got, six generations up to an electronic instrument and so forth.
Yeah, it's phenomenal stuff. Phenomenal. Did you make, because I want to talk to the viewers about there used to be a glass tube, and I believe that came from you guys, and there was like a marble in it, a blue
That's what we
marble.
called it, the marble demonstrator.
Oh my gosh. So incredible. So incredible. If you took your finger and did this with it, you'd like hurt your finger. You couldn't even move it. And then you put the activator to the end and just click it once, and the marble just shot out, right? Just,
And we use that to show patients that were a bit skeptical. They'd say, I don't think that did anything. And then we'd take that out and we'd say, watch this. And they'd see that marble go in their eyes and open up and go, oh my gosh. Maybe.
It was basic laws of physics, though. Force equals mass times acceleration, right? It's all it was. And you could show people that, and they go, "Oh my God, you mean that's going to do something to me?" But when they feel it, they go, "Well, look at this." And we tell people, try to hit this, try to, tweak it or do whatever, put a force like that, and they just couldn't do it. It was phenomenal. Do they still make it?
Yep, we still have it for demonstrations for new practitioners so they can show their patients what's happening.
Good. Even old pre everyone should get one.
Everybody's got, well, the old ones all have them in their office.
Yeah. They're great. So let's talk about this. So you started the technique, right? And then you started taking it out to people. Obviously, there must have been a bunch of people who were doing DNFT and people doing Toughness and people doing different stuff and then kind of seeing what was going on, right? Because you know how it was back then. Gather around a table and watch it change, right? It was show and tell before anything, right? And then you started putting this whole thing together. Give us, you don't have to tell us every ingredient because that would take way too long, but what was the sequence of how things started, just flowing for you?
Well, first of all, the beginning was to get a step-by-step approach to adjusting. And by the way, for the first 2 or 3 years, all we had was the pelvis and the neck.
That was it.
We didn't have anything in between. And so that all came, step by step. And the interesting part was 1974, I was asked by Jim Parker to come do a seminar at Parker, and he said, "You got to go through Parker first because all of our people have to go through Parker before they can speak." And so I went down to Dallas, and for the next 50 years, I ended up teaching at Parker seminars in Dallas. I was one of the 12 Parker pals, and I remember going to Madison Square Garden when I was 1976. I was about 30 some years old, and 6,000 people were there, and I had 15 minutes to explain what I was doing, and I don't even remember what I said. I was so hyped up. Parker actually put us on the national stage because, we went to every Parker seminar that was in Dallas, and then they usually had a big one in Vegas, like they do now, and so forth. So that put Activator on the map.
And so by doing it though, were you just was it speaking to the whole crowd? Did you have your own area where you were showing people, or were you just packed in the exhibit hall taking care of people?
I had my own seminar, and we'd have 200 to 300 people in that seminar. And I did something kind of strange for Parker. I had about three or four of my instructors there, and we really won people over by adjusting them. And so we'd have four or five tables in the back of the room, and when the session was over, they'd all run back to see what it was like and how it felt like, and so forth and so on. That's where people got into it because now, and some of them had conditions that hadn't been helped, in their whole time in chiropractic. And I remember one guy from Oklahoma that became an instructor later, and he had a stomach problem for years and years and years. And we found that he had a counter-rotated five and six and cleared that, and his stomach problem went away, and he wanted to be an instructor. I mean, that was the crazy stuff that happened.
And Arlen, and let's face it, I mean, you're way beyond me. I'm 44 years right now, right, in chiropractic, right? I graduated 44 years ago. And I would tell people if you want to have a long life in chiropractic, Activator.
It was funny, Ron, because I would be at a seminar and I'd be testing people and checking them, and I'd always notice the real well-dressed doctor standing and kind of observing. I finally found out that was somebody that had been in practice for 20 to 25 years, had a huge practice, but they were just running out of physical energy. And I remember a young guy by the name of Russ Pavko from Ohio, and he was standing there. I said, "Russ, you got a big practice, huh?" And he said, "How do you know?" I said, "Because you're tired, that's why you're standing here watching. See if this is an easier way to do it." He said, "If this works, it will prolong my practice life for another 20 years." He took it back home, told everybody, "I got a new technique. If you don't like it, you can quit." And he stepped in the next week and he practiced doubled. And I mean, it was just like he found what he needed and he was on his way.
Yeah, I knew Russ, and a phenomenal chiropractor, by the way. I
Yes.
mean, phenomenal. I mean, his principle and just phenomenal. Rock steady. But I didn't know that story. I
Yes.
did not know that story. I mean, Russ was one of the big ones, and biggest practices in the country, one of the biggest practices in the country. It's so interesting, and bottom line is this. I mean, you cannot have people chiropractors aren't going to use it if it doesn't work.
That's funny. Oh, the only techniques that survive are the ones that work. And
Absolutely.
practice, by the way, are notorious for running around to things. They go from here to there to here to there because they're searching. But once they found this, they were rock solid and they were stayed, then they'd stay.
So talk about this, because you said that it started with the pelvis and cervicals, but nothing else. How'd that come into play?
Crazy thing that happened. One day I was feeling pressure in my 12th thoracic. And I had an associate working with me, and we had a table, obviously, in downstairs in our conference room. And I said, "You got to check me because I'm hurting." And I said, "Every time I put my right arm over my head, I feel that pain in the 12th thoracic." And looked over, and he says, "My God, your right leg just went about an inch short." And I said, "Well, then go over and push on the 12th thoracic transverse and see what happens." And he said, "It leveled out." That's how we developed the 12th thoracic disc. It was by pure accident. So then I put a thing out to all of our doctors and said, "If you are pressure testing and you find something that works, please send it in." It gets even better. Dana Lawrence was at Palmer College at the time. I think maybe, yeah, I guess he was at Palmer, either that or National. And he said, "Darlin, you're never going to have anything last unless you write a textbook." And so that bothered me because, I'm not very detailed, but I hired an editor and she was detailed. And so we put our first textbook out, but we did it by everybody sending in their ideas. And so we took these ideas, compiled them into a textbook. So it wasn't me, it was the whole country putting in things that worked. And now we're on our second, we've got a second textbook out, and now we're virtual training.
That's great. That's great. Dude, you're not going to slow down, are you?
Well, my wife says, "I've never worked a day in my life," because she said, "You like what you do so much. That's why you do it." And I said, she said, "You never did do anything you didn't like." And I said, "Not really."
I love it. I love it. So talk about this. You moved to Phoenix, right? So you got out of practice, right? And you go to Phoenix in 89 because you need to be by a research institute, right? And you hooked up with ASU, correct? What took place then? Because 89, there wasn't a lot of chiropractors working with universities, in the United States.
Problem to find a PhD that would talk to you. And Jack Winters was from Berkeley. I mean, he was a smart guy. And I remember taking my research over to him, both papers, and I walked in his office with two papers. And I said, "Dr. Winters, I'm really interested in furthering this and looking into why it works and so forth and so on." So he read it quickly. And he said, "That your research is a bit immature," which meant you don't have
You
much.
don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. But he said, "I like the questions you're asking." And he said, "So I'll help you." Now, I remember walking out of that door that day feeling like I had died and gone to heaven because now I had somebody that was, and he was just starting the biomechanics department at ASU, was brand new. So we worked together then for till he went to Marquette University. I think it was another 10 years we worked together. So that was my first real introduction into the scientific community.
I love it. I love it. And I get that leaving Minnesota, right, to go to Phoenix, Arizona, where you have, no winters, you were not going to follow him to Marquette.
No, you're right, I did not.
I understand that. I understand that. Arlen, talk to me about this. Listen, you've been around for 60 plus years and, you've seen a lot in chiropractic. I'm just thrilled. I had no idea you had a relationship with Van Rump or with, or dealing with Toughness or, all this different stuff. And that, these were the guys, that were when I graduated, they were like, whoa, doing the really cool stuff. Where do you see the future?
I'm a little concerned.
Talk.
I really am. I like to see chiropractic be the main thing. And because the colleges, many of them, thought that they were going to become universities and they wanted to be healthcare science universities, it was really a division or dividing up of the chiropractic world. And there's only been one person that I know quite well that has pulled it off, and that was John Scringe at Southern Cal. And I interviewed him in my podcast and found out what he required to get another, division in a college. And I think if it's done correctly, it's fine, but you don't want to forget your main goal, and that's the chiropractic division, because at Logan University, 80 some percent of the money coming in comes from the tuition for the chiropractic students. And I don't think that should be divided among other things to build other schools. I think that should be supported on its own.
So your concern is chiropractic being diluted, chiropractic not having enough funding, so that what's your concern?
Well, I just think that if you're going to chiropractic college, you want to major in chiropractic. And I think we're still safe at Logan because we have a great college there and it's doing really well. But I just don't want to see a nurse practitioner, come into the chiropractic world saying, this is how I became successful and this is what made people get well. And I know integrated practices are fine. Hey, I started the VA program for chiropractic here in Phoenix. As a matter of fact, I got the last co-sponsor to get the bill through to get chiropractic into the VA from John McCain.
Nice. Wow.
And so, I mean, I know all about integration and I know about integrating into big medical things because we had 100 medical doctors and me at the VA. And so it was really funny because one day the chief of rheumatology was standing with me in the coffee line. He said, "Hi, Arnold." And I said, "Hi, how are you?" He said, "I just want you to know something. I hope you never leave." And I said, "Well, tell me why." He said, "Well, because," he said, "we can only give so many grade four narcotics."
He said, "What?
"We can only give so many grade four narcotics to veterans.
Oh,
And
wow.
then we have to stop." And he said, "Some of them still have pain." I said, "Oh, so what do you do with them?" "We refer them to you." And I said, "So we're the dumping ground?" And he said, "Well, but you know what's really funny? They're getting well and they're getting less drugs." And I said, "Isn't that interesting?" And he said, "That's why I don't want you guys to ever leave."
I love it. I love it. Except we just have to educate them, say, send them to us first, right? Before they go through the grade four narcotics.
That's right. That's the other part is the education of the patient. And that's being done. I mean, I know around the country, guys that have really gotten into that VA. And by the way, there's not a better group of patients than veterans. They're just so appreciative of everything you do. And I remember I had this one guy came in and he said, "I am hooked on drugs." And he said, "I just, almost ready to go to the street and so forth." And I said, "Let's take care of you." 1 year later, he was out of in drug rehab and had his own apartment building. And he came in and he threw his arms around me and started crying. He said, "You saved my life." Now that's worth it all.
Yes, absolutely. Arlen, last week before I left to go to ACC RAC in New Orleans, I ran into one of our students in our health center, and wonderful man. He's a vet, wonderful man. Did four tours of duty, came back, massive PTSD, then was an alcoholic. He basically drunk, he basically medicated himself with alcohol for 11 years, and stopped everything, got under chiropractic care. It changed his life, changed his life. And then he came to school. So he committed himself to be a chiropractor. But here's what he said to me. He said, "Not only did chiropractic change my life, but this college changed my life, being in an environment where everybody thinks the same and everyone is moving toward the same goal. You could do it in a lot of different ways, but moving toward the same goals." And he said, "And I've made a commitment that that's what I want to do for veterans." And he wants to go back. And you know this, veterans trust veterans.
Oh, yeah, it's part of a brotherhood.
Yes. They trust veterans, whether you're in for 2 years or 52 years, it doesn't matter. They trust veterans. And you know what? I can't think of a group of people serving our country, giving of their life for our freedom, who shouldn't have chiropractic care. It should be available to them every 24/7.
Yep.
That's
Well,
my thing.
I got a law through while I was in there that. We ran out of space because we had like a 3 month waiting list and we didn't have enough physical space. And so I said, why don't we send them to local practitioners? So we got it through here in the state of Arizona. Now a vet can go anywhere if he's over 50 miles away from the center.
Yeah, and that started spreading, by the way. So that started going to other states.
Well, that's all over the country now.
It's all over the country. Exactly. And there are such wonderful people. Tony Lisi, Dr. Lisi,
Yeah,
doing amazing things. And Tony, shout out to you, doing amazing things. But Arlen, thank you, because you know what? Just it sometimes it takes one place to start, right? The ripple, the rock had, the pebble has to go in the water at one place, and the ripple starts going out. And thank you for dropping that pebble because I couldn't think of a more deserving group of people. But though everybody deserves chiropractic care, but especially our vets. Man, I just thank you. Thank you so much. We're going to wrap it, but just thank you for all that you've done for and will continue to do for chiropractic. No eulogy yet, but thank you for everything you've done and for taking chiropractic from a place where it was like, just in a room, in a conference room, right? Showing people what to do, right? To the grand stage, to taking chiropractic out now, activators taught here at LifeWest, and to be able to now you have your online certification. I mean, just leveling up so that more and more people can receive chiropractic care through Activator. It's just amazing. And so I know you're still playing. I know you're still in the game. I know you're not taking the cleats off. I know that you're going to continue to be on the field and do that. But you know what? The history and the legacy that has already been built is really incredible. So thank you for being one of those, one of them, right? One of the giants that we have the pleasure of standing on your shoulders, Thank you. I really mean that.
Thank you for inviting me.
You got it. You got it. And to our viewers, I mean, my gosh, get to an Activator seminar for sure. Look and see all the cool things that are going on, how Arlen has up-leveled the work that we do. But mostly, if you see his energy and you see his love for what we do, we should all have that love because that love is really about the body. It's about the potential in the body. It's about innate intelligence. It's about everything that we know, because the truth is that we put a force in the body, we give it the best educated force we can possibly give, but the body has to take that force and do what it does with it. And that's the key thing, making sure that we understand where the healing takes place. And within each of us, we got the potential to be far greater than we were ever led to believe. So, Arlen, thank you. Our viewers, thank you. Share this, pass it around. I guarantee you there are people right now in your world, chiropractors in your world, who aren't clear on their technique, feel like they want to change, or worse than that, because we wouldn't wish this on anybody, they're not feeling well physically. Their body can't handle it anymore. Well, get them over to Arlen, let them learn Activator, and I can promise you it's going to add more years to their life and more life to their years than you can ever imagine. So thanks again for checking in. We'll be back at you next week. Every other week we drop a Life West, a Life by Life West, and then we have the Life West Leadership Line. So thanks again for being with us, and we certainly appreciate you. From Dr. Arlen and myself, we'll bid you adieu and see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us today
and for the love, commitment, and passion you emanate every day.
Together, we know we will make this world a better place.